7. And need to do roll call. And I'll just call out people's name and you can say yes, because remember this is audio.
Right.
So Dan?
Present.
Pat?
Here.
Buzz?
Here.
And Beth, I am here. And for the public, we have Shanice and Grace and Patty. And I think, is that it? I think so. We have no staff members present. So, do we have any updates since the last meeting? I bet we do, Buzz. Do you have anything to update us with?
Just why we're having tomorrow's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dan already wrote a memo about our meeting with the engineer. And Cody and I tested last Wednesday down at the state park, and the test came back positive. So tomorrow we have to do the two spring sources, and then the firehouse, the clubhouse, and the state park. And I'm not real optimistic about how that's going to turn out.
So for the members of the public, we would have sent this word out already, except that there's still some hang up about what report we have to send out to the public. But we've been wanting to actually send something out by email, but what we can attach to that email, some of that will get hopefully sorted with the information meeting tomorrow. This summer we've had positive total coliform tests. And we've had those occasionally in the past and have been able to work with the health department and resolve the issue. This summer, would it be fair to say that we've had, over the last couple of months, persistent positive tests?
Over the last three.
Yeah, starting in mid-June. And so we're still getting advice from the health department. And we also are getting word from the state that they would like us to start treating, because springs are involved and they need to ensure that the water supply is safe. And that would mean chlorination of some sort. And, you know, it's the water folks around the state have always used us as that sort of unicorn. When asked in training courses, when the folks ask, well, is there any water system in the state that doesn't have to treat its water? They say, well, there is this one little district down at the coast fed by a spring that's still getting by because their tests are negative. That's where we're at. We've gotten a letter from the state, and now we're communicating back and forth with them and with the health department here.
I can add maybe one thing to that, Dan.
Yes.
We had the exact same thing occur in June.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jim had a single sample come in positive, and he had to go and do the sample of five of them,
mm-hmm.
like we're doing. And two of those came in positive. So then we had what I think will be the same exact meeting at tomorrow. It was the second, they called it a second level meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy came over, she's retiring soon. She brought a replacement. Jim, Pat, and I were in attendance in the main clubhouse room. Jim explained to her that there were unusual, not unusual, but weather conditions that were detrimental to sampling, wet and windy when it happened, and he speculated about why that happened. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, fair enough, makes sense. So then the next sampling, after that was sometime in the latter part of June, the next sampling was June 7th or July 17th. Same thing happened. Jim at that time was phasing out. He took the July 17th sample and was using it to train Cody. And then we had to go back and do the July 22nd sample.
Right, the five samples.
Yeah, and those two failed. So then on July 31st, I guess it was Dan, you and I and Cody, they said, well, we think you ought to sanitize the springs.
So we have disinfected the springs.
So we did that. And we waited until there was no possibility of the chlorine in the system that would negate the sample. And then we went, I guess, August. That was the one last Wednesday.
Yes, that was last Wednesday.
And here we are, five samples again, and here we are having to have another meeting. I don't know how long that cycle is going to go on, but I can't second guess what they're going to tell us tomorrow. I don't know.
I have no idea either.
Maybe to sanitize the springs again.
Perhaps. So for members of the community, total coliforms are basically bacteria that occur everywhere in the environment. They're generally not harmful, but they indicate, if they are there in the water, they indicate that harmful bacteria could get into the system. So they're used as an indicator. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Buzz, if we have that, they go ahead and if they find coliforms, they go ahead and test for the harmful bacteria.
Yeah, I think they...
And we haven't had any of those so far.
Right.
There's a telltale. I think they can find out from the same sample.
Yes.
They haven't. We've never, ever, since they started testing in the 90s, we've had a fecal coliform come up.
Right. So no harmful bacteria in the system. If those were detected, we'd need to issue an immediate boil water order, and the district has never had to do that. In the past, we've been able to, by doing the selective disinfection or figuring out where the leak was, where they were getting in, that kind of stuff, we've been able to take care of it. But
I'm curious, is there any, I mean, I can't help but wonder if the, like the whole system in Otter Rock, we've got like maybe I don't know how many times the amount of people that this location is really designed to accommodate. And I'm wondering if there's any way that having, you know, 5 to 10 times as many people using everything could be causing, I mean, is there any relationship to bacteria getting into the system and having, you know, way, way, way more people than the park is designed to accommodate? Does that make sense?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
You'd have to, Grace, you'd have to, there's always every tap, every toilet is pressure out. And I think if you raise the hatch on one of the tanks and dump some bad stuff in up there, that would do it. But generally speaking, I don't see how more people using the state parks would affect it.
Yeah, and our monthly consumption has not been 3 or 4 times usual.
I think Grace is talking about the numbers of people, not the flow.
Yeah. But So you're wondering if their use at the state
park. Not even so much their use, but having more people tromping around, more people peeing in the bushes, more people, you know, when you've got five times as many people as the park is designed to accommodate, and you've got people camping and people tromping into the, you know, I just am curious if there could be a relation.
And what about all the pollution from vehicles we've had?
Right. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that, you mean airborne pollution?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that getting into the water. Maybe. I mean, I was thinking, people, you know, where are all these people, you know, and maybe it's not here, maybe it's upstream, you know, because it's just, we're so overrun, you know, everybody has left their homes in the city and seem to be coming to all the areas, and I mean, I don't know. It's just hard not to think that there must be, it seems like, you know, there could possibly be some correlation to.
Yeah. The two things have coincided in time, but I think other commissioners speak up. They've coincided in time, but it's, I don't think it's likely that there's an actual connection between the two. I mean, it's the post hoc ergo propter hoc kind of thing. You know, this happened after or at the same time.
And, I know, I realize correlation doesn't equal causation.
Yeah.
I'm just,
yeah, no, I know, I knew you understood that.
It does seem coincidental, though.
It is coincidental. It's coinciding. But
it's hard not to wonder.
But, well, believe me, we're trying to figure out reasons why we're seeing this, why we're seeing positive tests at the springs, which is not something that we generally see from those two springs.
Right.
And they're getting the water from underground, flows down the mountain in the cracks in the rocks, comes out at the springs. The springs are designed not to let anything in through our access hatches or anything like that. So unless someone is, you know, drilling wells up the hill to inject contaminants into our water supply, I just don't see how it works.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I have a question.
Stan.
Hi, Stan.
Yeah. Hi, guys. So when we're doing our water test, are all the ones coming up positive or just some of them?
Some of them.
I wonder why all of them aren't coming up positive.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Location, location, location.
Well, yeah, what it could be is they have some sort of leakage around their house or in the pipe someplace near them that are leaking contaminants into their water system. Right? And it's not affecting the whole system. It's affecting just that house or maybe a few houses down the line from it. You know, you might be able to follow, the, how it moves. So the one house, you check the next one down the line and see if it's contaminated. If it is, you check the next one and maybe you'd find a source someplace other than at the water tank itself. Although you did say that we are getting negative tests at our source, basically.
Yeah,
that's the thing, our spring.
But is that every time too, or is that just sometimes?
We didn't test it last time, but we're supposed to test the source tomorrow. But last Wednesday, but the time for before that, there were five tests. And I think one of the springs came up positive. And
but our report said only the state park was negative on that test.
On the state
test, right. That's right.
Yeah.
So the springs.
Yeah. So two of the springs and the fire station and the community center.
Yep.
And then state park was tested also, all five of those, but state park was the only one that was clean.
Yeah, and Stan, that state parks was the last one I tested Wednesday. On the 22nd of July, state parks came up clean. And on, what was last Wednesday? It It came up toxic. So
no. Was it spring yeah. number three that was the spring number three, the one that tested positive?
No, we're not using spring three, so we don't have to test it.
Right. Oh, okay. So we're just using one and two. So right.
so yeah. far, so far we haven't had to bring spring three online.
Okay.
Spring production's been better than say last.
I didn't know if you had to test it along with the other ones, even if it isn't online.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah. Comment?
Yeah, I'm hoping that after tomorrow's meeting, we have the final official word on what needs to be included in the news to the community.
I do too.
I'd
had it into the printers and we luckily were able to put a halt to it. So
it's just, I feel like time's a wasting from a communication standpoint.
Yeah, I want to get that out, at least something.
Beth, you were able to catch them at the Pioneer Printers before they started rolling presses. Great.
Yeah, we put in an email last night and they saw it this morning, so.
Great.
It's on hold.
Good job.
So for members of the public in attendance, basically the question is whether or not we are supposed to send out a particular EPA prescribed announcement in addition to otherwise informing the community. And if so, it has to be hand mailed. We can also email it, but we didn't want the email and the mailing not to match. It's bogged down in the details the last few days. So hopefully we can get something out tomorrow, finally.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go on to our next item then, customer account classification. Who wants to start with that one? Pat?
Well, I'll make a general statement. Or Buzz, you want to make a general statement?
Yeah. When they first put in the user rates last year, when they were all excited about getting meters and felt that we had to use them to charge people, I thought it was a bad idea. And I think every chance I've had when the subject has come up of user rates, I've gotten on my soapbox and said, we don't need user rates. We don't need to charge people for using extra water because we have plenty of water. And I thought when I saw that Grace was being charged an extra $30 for two of her places, I didn't see in the user rates that I was familiar with anything about a $30 charge. But lo and behold, the lame duck, the last meeting of the last board, they apparently stuck that in. And that in itself, I think, was a questionable procedure. It's right up there with some of the executive orders that Obama wrote when he was going out as president. So I'll say once and for all, I think we ought to hold user rates in abeyance until we know how much flow we've got coming, how our meters, when we have all of our meters in, and when we have a master meter that we can rely on, and certainly something on our things that's a little bit more accurate than 30%, as I've demonstrated that B-notch weir is. I think we're just running around with their like chickens with their heads cut off, talking about rates, and we don't know a darn thing about what we've got.
This meeting was not called to talk about rates. This meeting was called to talk about how we classify the different customers we have and their usage of their water. It is not to discuss rates.
Excuse me, Pat, where are you going to put that information? Are you going to put a little separate listing of BBROs? We get to charge them more because we think there's more, they use more water?
No, we're not talking about usage or rates. We're talking about how, if X customer signs up for water service, where do you put them in the rate chart that we already have?
And I just said
unit
dispense with the rate chart.
So I guess I don't think you can talk about customers' classification without at least, I mean, the purpose to classify a customer is if you're going to charge people different rates, correct? I mean, otherwise every customer would just be a customer.
Right.
So I don't think you consider the classifications in a vacuum without thinking about why you're doing it. My opening statement, all I want to say is I would like to see us have a, whatever we decide on for a rate structure or rate classification system, I would like to see it be rational rather than arbitrary. And above all, I think it needs to be fair. And that may be, I mean, I don't know that how far we're going to get tonight. I'm going to apologize right now for not finding some of those online resources until I finally found a way to get online this afternoon. I sent you guys a couple different things about rate policy. But personally, what I'd like to see is something that makes sense and something that is fair, and that's beyond that. I don't have any sort of preconceived notion of what that looks like, but that's where I'd like to see us get. And now I'll shut up again.
All right. I thought we were needing to define the different units. Like, there's a difference between a single family residence and a duplex, and then we also have, when we're looking at the residential.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got the question about, I guess what we have in our current structure is a rented accessory dwelling unit.
Sure.
And what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I would like to take a step back personally. And I mean, what we've had in the past was basically we had a flat rate charge per connection. And for reasons, and I have to confess, I think I was not doing enough due diligence and I went along with the board because I was on it at the time. When presented with this, because I certainly was not in on any discussions of it, as far as rationale or basis, I was the kid and I went, okay, you know, you experienced folks say this makes sense. But now that I've thought about it, if you look at a couple of, at least one of the things I sent up from North Dakota, they talk about, they again stress over and over and over again the importance of fairness. And they also encourage you to look at fixed costs and variable costs. And the fixed cost is your basic connection fee. And then the variable costs have to do with the cost of water production, which, as Buzz has pointed out time and time again, our water production to this point has been basically coming, you know, we don't pay anybody for it. It just comes out of the mountain to us. Unlike, say, Seal Rock, where they buy treated water from Toledo right now, and eventually will be having their own treatment plant drawing out of Beaver Creek. You know, we're not buying water from somebody. Our fixed costs are things like maintaining the system, paying the phone and electric bill at the office. I mean, those kinds of things. And we have the other interesting situation in our district where a lot of, if you take a look at Seal Rock's rates, for example, they're very focused, it looks like, on conservation, because there's that base rate that handles the fixed costs, and then the variable rapidly steps up per 1,000 gallons for a while, starting from zero for the residential rate. And so even though the basic connection fee they pay every month is something like $33, if you're an average, the so-called average U.S. household, you're up to, you know, $80 to $90 a month. If you're using it at that rate. So, but then they're buying their water, and there's a cost with every 1,000 gallons of water that comes into the district.
Filtration plant too, Dan.
Yeah, and the other thing that's odd, you know, about us is obviously, for 3 months out of the year, around now on into the early fall, our water is a limited resource as far as supply meeting demand. Then the rest of the year, much of it just goes out the pipe and down to the ocean because we don't need it. So we've got this weird annual supply cycle going on. And so the more I think about it, to be honest with you, the more confused I get about what's a rational approach to take with this. Up till now, most of our costs have been of the fixed and not variable variety. And the fixed includes things like debt service, which we haven't had for a while. And, you know, we're going to have, I guess, Buzz, if we are forced to chlorinate, then there'll be a certain small cost of per unit of water there, but it's not going to be a very big variable cost, is it?
No, it'd be less than $1 per connection.
Yeah, so...
Well, so, yeah, I know we have lots of water, but we have this current rate chart, and we talk about what the different type of units are.
Yeah. And I guess my question
is... That's kind of what I thought we were going to go over.
Right.
And evaluate.
Well, I'm asking us to evaluate it fundamentally from a policy standpoint. What is sensible and fair to have as our classifications, if we're going to focus on classifications. Does that make sense?
That's exactly what this meeting is supposed to be about, because there is a dissonance between, not only do we have, what, 4 rate charts we've come up with in the last few weeks, and each one is in effect, and the rest of the dissonance is, when we go to bill our customers, where do they fall in this rate chart?
Right.
Can I interrupt?
No, please.
Yeah, I want to. Dan and I just gave you a rationale about why we should have any rates at all. And I get the feeling that there's not a rational counter argument. Well, we need these rates because, no, you've had your say. Now we're going to talk about what we came here to talk about, and please shut up so we can talk about these classifications and the rates when we're saying the rates are don't make any sense. And we ought to address that basic question.
What, Buzz, what do you think doesn't make sense?
All right, let me start. Let me give you a little history. When they, I'll be brief.
Okay.
This system is like 100 years old, back in the 30s. And somebody put it in, they put in the little tank and some galvanized piping. And I don't know, maybe they said, well, we've got to pay for something. Maybe they didn't even charge. They had to pay for the putting in the system. And then that progressed through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And it was a pretty simple system. The water flowed. And I guess people paid for something. It was, I've heard numbers like 10 bucks a month. And then somewhere in the 90s, the state decided, well, you've got to start testing. My point is, the only thing that we are paying for with it, this administrative, what that, a big part of that 30 bucks before they raised the 20 to put in meters was for, was to address the ton of paperwork that has rained down from Salem in the intervening years. Just the administration is what we're paying for. Let me just say one last thing. If the whole water board took a vacation, if they went away for 6 months or a year and nobody did anything, there was no meeting, no water board, no bills were paid, no testing, nothing was, no reports to the state, no bureaucratic response from us. Guess what? We'd have all kinds of aggravation raining down on us from everywhere, unpaid bills. But you know what? People would be able to get up in the morning, they could draw their water, they could have a cup of coffee, and maybe, you know, that thing just keeps flowing. All we're paying for, we're just putting another layer of bureaucracy on this administrative nightmare that's evolved over the last 100 years. And I just don't see any sense in it. It doesn't affect how the system works.
I think it has to do with a fairness idea. Some people think what we have now isn't fair, that it doesn't go far enough, and some people think it's too much. And
So, well, if you adjust the basic rate to accommodate the fairness and leave the sliding scale out of it, that's fine.
We don't have a sliding scale. I think we're not metering anybody except for commercial.
Right.
But the point is, there's plenty of water most of the year. And if one of our neighbors uses 30,000 gallons for his connection, and Grace uses 2,000 gallons for her connection, and they both pay the same minimal rate, I don't think anybody's going to complain about that, because that's the way it's been for 50 years, because there's plenty of water. The only difference, it's not unfair, it's just that one guy's using more water that's coming to us for free than somebody else. It doesn't cost us anything, so it's not unfair.
Hey, hi, Buck.
Hi, Buck. What happened to Pat?
I don't know.
She's vanished.
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, she's gone.
Okay.
Lost connection or something.
Hey, yeah. That's my soapbox rant. My 5 minutes are up. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, I forgot I wasn't signing. Okay. Well, yeah, it's too bad that Pat's gone, because she's the one who mostly wanted to talk about that. We have...
Yeah, she kind of needs to be here, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, I got all confused. I've been working in the office with Whitney and on things, and I was kind of scratching my head and looking at these water rates and charts, and found multiple copies, and nothing was making any sense. So I'd like some clarification on that, but we have single family residents, and we have the duplexes, and then we have the ADUs.
So
and that's the only, that's the three distinctions we make
in commercial,
in residential, multifamily. So
what's the ADU?
An accessory dwelling unit.
And how many of those are there?
I believe there's only three.
Okay.
So,
well, there's three that we're calling that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of arbitrary, if you ask me. It's a little arbitrary to just chart.
Yeah, I had looked up
I just
definitions.
Feel like that just... It's like to decide that you're going to charge. I've been paying $80 and I have three people, no more than three people ever in either house. I don't water my lawn. Like I see Pat, for example, watering your lawn. I'm sure they use more water than I do. I don't feel like.
Well, right. I'm single.
Why am I paying? I just don't think it's fair. I think it's a little arbitrary. I mean, I just feel like somebody just slapped that stuff on there, and I don't think
it's been that way for a number of years that they've had a difference with a single family and a multi-unit residential.
Well,
and the accessory unit, I'm not sure. Hey, maybe Buck, do you know when that got added?
The ADU?
Yeah.
I've had a rental above my garage for 35 years, and we paid for it for years and years, and then I put my office up there and didn't have it. Then we started talking about ADUs when Delano moved up there, and that was only been a few months. About a year. And that's when I started paying an ADU on him.
But was there an ADU before?
No, but I got. We paid two water bills for years and years, and we got saying, why? And so I moved my office up there and said, I'm not going to pay a water bill to have my office up there. And then when we rented it again, we started paying an ADU there. And I thought that was unfair because we don't really know how many there are in the district. And I know one property that has at least two on it, and I don't think they're charged more than one charge. So, there's so many different uses of property here. When a property has three or four RVs on it for a week or two, do they pay differently? There's so many different applications of water usage here, and I think that when Pat wanted to start doing a rate structure as far as water usage and deciding on rentals and short-term rentals and things should be commercial. But when the usage on those are so different, how do you classify that? And without a way to get the number of gallons used for each one of them without a meter on, there's no way to do that.
Yep.
So, you know, Buzz is absolutely right. If we've got overflow, there's no reason to charge any different.
Right.
Unless it's, you know, if it's not any more maintenance in, you know, maintaining any lines, which it probably isn't.
But for the last 2 years, the water's been really short, so it's been forefront on how do we do this and deter people basically from using water. So.
But added in, when we say we're going to charge you more if we use more water, the implication there is that we can manage the water. We have the capability. Go ahead, fool. Just use as much water as you want, but you're really going to pay for it. But that's the implication, but we don't have that capability.
We won't until we get meters on every single connection.
Yeah. And but I said that we don't know what we don't know how much water we're using, and we don't know how much water is flowing in. And so I said, I'm repeating myself, but until we know that, I don't see how we can properly address any kind of rate structure.
I'm still curious, Buzz, has it been like 10 years, do you think, since we've had a differentiation with a rented accessory unit, or is it 3 years or 5 years?
I can't answer that.
Does anybody know?
I thought the rate structure was brought in somewhere around 2017 or so, 2018. But now listening to Buck saying he's been paying for years, I don't know.
The first time
I remember that board introduced a rate structure.
Well, keep in mind that the rates are set by the budget committee once a year. For the next fiscal year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know at which fiscal year change some of these adjustments were made, but it looks like it might have been 2018 to 2019.
No, I saw one. I can't find it now. Mm-hmm. Gee, wonder why. There was at least 2017, but
did that have ADUs and things like that on it?
I'm not sure, but I don't have it. I can't find it now, and I didn't go back and look any further.
I was on the board. Mm-hmm. When we started those back, and I had two thoughts, and one was I was going to comply because I was on the board, and that the second thought is then the board should know how many are actually in the district, and then so everybody, it's fair to everybody. Yeah. And
right.
And I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah.
So the thing is I guess the assumption is that if you have an ADU that you're using more water, but I'm not. So in my case, I have, you know, both my houses have apparently different uses than some houses, but there's no way I'm using as much water as people that are watering. You know, I have never more than three people ever in either house. I'm not using more than the bedrooms or the septic is intended to accommodate. I'm not like, it'd be one thing if I was like renting this house out and putting 12 people in here, which some places are. I'm not. I never have more than three people ever in my houses. And generally it's one or two people maximum. So it's ridiculous and arbitrary to charge. I've been paying $80 a month per house. And I just feel like that's arbitrary. I thought, you know, I'll try to do it. It's fair. But it's like, then I start asking around. I'm like, it's not fair. You know what I mean? It's just not, I'm sorry. It's just not fair. I didn't want to say, you know, if everybody's doing it. But I don't think it's, I just think it's, why am I paying more? I just shouldn't be paying more. I mean, it'd be one thing if I had two water services. But I have one, and I'm not washing my car, I'm not watering my lawn, I'm not using more water, I'm not causing more work. I just think it's completely arbitrary, and I just, I understand it if you have a full-on duplex, but my house, for example, next door, it's not a duplex. It's one house that happens to have an ability to have two people staying in it. But it's not a full-on, like, it's not on the taxes, it's not a duplex. And I realize that's kind of nitpicking, but I don't know.
Grace,
yes.
Can I cite, maybe somebody correct me if I'm wrong, an analogy for the electric company. Usually my experience with them is you can have one meter on a duplex. They charge everybody the same basic rate. Like a residential service.
Right.
They're different commercial services.
Right.
But they charge everybody the same rate. And if you want to put three or four panels in a quadruplex, they could care less as long as they get their money.
Right.
And they have a pretty efficient means. They're all metered, pretty well high-tech meters, and they know exactly how much to charge you every month based on usage, over and above what your basic fee is.
All I'm saying is
that the basic fee is all, for years and years, is all that was ever charged in Otter Rock, because essentially, it'd be like the electric company hooked to this geothermal or this huge stream where they had a very simple system to generate electricity and it didn't cost them anything, so they don't charge you any extra. I don't know if that's
how it works,
but for us it does work. We have this free water coming in, so just a basic thing for everybody.
I think probably 10 years ago, we never had any short-term rentals in Otter Rock. It's a fairly new thing. And I guess going back to what Buck said earlier, when we are lean on water during our water lean periods, is it right that we should be able to rent out places to people that are using our water when we need that water for ourselves, the people that are residents here? And that's kind of where it comes into a commercial thing, maybe. Because the people that are renting out the places are doing it to earn income.
Right.
When you're living in your own house, you're not trying to earn income. You're just trying to live in your own house.
Stan, can I answer that?
Sure.
The district is a service, and we're here to provide water. And if somebody is making money renting his house or has a VRBO, and he's renting to those people, that are visitors, we can't make that distinction. We're a service. I mean, we're supposed to provide, distribute the water and make some kind of attempt that it's safe to, it's potable, safe potable water. And okay. We're stingy with VRBOs because we don't like these people coming over and crowding our space. We just can't do that.
That's not what I was saying. I was saying they're using water when we are low on water. And that's when, have them do it any other time of the year. But when we run out of water and we're down to the tanks going down, you don't want a bunch of visitors here using our water. They should close down the state parks for that reason. They haven't had it yet. They would. Water board says they would.
Yeah, I wish they would too. So as far going back to the analogy of electricity, like I've lived in duplexes and there's two panels and one person pays a base rate. Each person pays the electric company in a duplex. You know, the owner generally does not pay for the electricity. It's usually the renters. Each have their own service with a base amount.
They each pay because
they each have a meter. But in this case, there's not two meters. If there were two meters, that would be a different thing, but there's not two meters.
That's what I was assuming, Grace, that you only had one meter.
I have one meter per house, and so.
So the electric utility is a classic example of the fixed and variable. And the fixed is that monthly connection fee that you pay. I don't know, was it $18-$19 a month now? And then, the variable is how many kilowatt hours you use. So how much energy you use, because there's a cost associated with that because they buy it from the BPA.
Yeah.
So that, that's a pretty classic, straightforward, and everybody's metered. So you know, so there's no unfairness there. In our situation, not everybody's metered. And I think our variable cost in any case, even if we have to start treating the water, is going to be pretty small. I mean, the difference in how much it costs the district, whether you use 1,000 gallons a month or 50,000 gallons a month, is not going to be very big. So fixed costs and variable costs rationale is hard to do. I'll bring up another analogy just to make things muddier. Remember Ma Bell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ma Bell, yes.
Good old Ma Bell. So you paid a basic charge, which included your connection and your local service, and then you paid by the minute for long distance. Remember that?
Yep.
And what is it now? You basically pay a connection fee, and you, depending on, I mean, in a lot of plans now with your phone plan, your long distance is not limited.
Right. With Ma Bell, you used to pay by the phone. That would be like adding a faucet in your house. You had to pay another $5.
Right. It's you know, the electric utilities still do it that way, but in general, there a lot of utilities now, you're not paying for usage, you're paying for access, and there are different tiers of access. You know, you pay more if you have unlimited everything.
I would like to say that I think it's important to consider that people that have nightly rentals that live outside of the county, that are, their intention is to cram as many people into a house as they can. They're overloading the septic systems, and they're using more water than that house normally would use during a time of the year when as the one time of year that we potentially could be short of water. That's something that I think should be addressed, but I don't know how to do that in this, but I mean, I think it's something, I don't know how to address that, but it's not something to just ignore, because there are people that have rentals who are like having tents, and they have, like, they're overloading the septic systems, which, you know, if you've got too many people, let's say, like in the case of my house is supposed to have a certain amount of people for the septic system. I never have more than that amount of people for people. And that is going to mean that I'm not going to use more water than what that system is intended for. Whereas people, you know, so it's something to consider. And I don't know how to address that. But
that sort of thing is, I don't think, is the job of the water district to control rentals. I
think that's the purpose of slapping an arbitrary additional $30 on whether you're renting your house out to 15 people at a time or two people at a time. That, you know,
right. There are some water districts that have a special fee for short-term rentals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, but Beverly Beach, just down the street here, does that.
Yeah.
They charge them, I think, like a commercial rate. It's not that much more.
Yeah.
But, well, ours is a lot more. Ours is almost double. I mean, if I'm paying $80 for renting one bedroom out, that's kind of a lot.
The difference is the base gallons usage. And the commercial rate is $57 instead of $50. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah. See, I wouldn't, if I was paying $7 more, I would.
Right. They have usage, but
everything above 6,000 gallons, then they pay $4 a thousand more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. It is basically not that much different than a single family dwelling per month. You know, it's, if it was an issue of raising money, those rates would have to change. Mm-hmm. But if it's a, you know, that's the only thing you see to designate a commercial, it wouldn't be detrimental at $7 extra a month, because not very many use over 6,000 gallons.
Can I ask a question? We could bat this around all night. May I make a suggestion that we, if I think we're going to have to at least build, do the improvements up at the tank site pretty darn quick, starting with the chlorination. And there's going to be equipment going in up there that will answer a lot of questions about how much water we have coming out of the mountain and how much product water is going down to the distribution system. And along with that, doing that work on the tank farm, we're going to have to do the meters, get that done, so we'll know who's using what. So my suggestion is, it's not a motion, that we table this until we know how much water we're talking about, who's using the most, and how much we have to supply, and how much we are supplying. And also, I'd like to, in this meeting tonight, I don't know if we have, if we can do it, but I totally think that Grace should be relegated back to her $50 a month. And I don't know if we can do that by a motion, but
We would have to treat, well, first of all, I don't know if we can change our rates.
I don't think we can.
Without the involvement of the budget committee in going through that process.
In the hearing.
Number one. Number two, I do know we cannot treat individual customers differently. You can treat.
You are treating individual customers.
Yeah, you can treat, you can treat a class.
No, more than you, Grace.
Yeah.
But we are. Buck just said there's probably a lot of people in the district that are doing exactly what Grace does who are not paying for it, and we don't know because
I agree.
It's under the radar. So
you go first.
Changing the rate, we're just making an exception and saying, okay, Grace, from henceforth until we know what the heck we're doing, you don't have to pay any more than $50 a month.
That we're not allowed to do. We are not allowed to make exceptions. We can treat a class.
Where's Pat? Can we do any of this? I mean, why is Pat not involved in this? I don't know why she just decided she didn't want to listen to Buzz, or I don't understand. She just left.
We don't know.
I mean, does she want to be a part of this? Is she, because she, it seems like that Pat might be making some unilateral decisions.
No, Pat is frustrated because she's trying to follow whatever has been set, and she also is not happy with the rate classifications, and she feels like I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I think she feels like she's enforcing some policies that aren't clear, that are not inherently fair. I have not gotten the impression, and again, I don't want to speak for Pat, that she's got an...
You can't really. She's not here. She needs to speak for herself.
I know. So...
I wanted us to do, if we have an ADU on there, I wanted for us to define what it is, because when I look online, it's... Some of them that we call an ADU wouldn't be called an ADU.
Mm-hmm.
Some would, though.
And that, I think, could be a policy decision that the board could make, because we're dealing with a class of customer.
Right.
And if we were to be able to define an ADU, I mean, I still want to look to see whether it makes any sense to be...
Even
having that, as opposed to just going back to the old by connection.
If you aren't charging everybody for their ADUs that have ADUs, the people that are being charged shouldn't be charged unless it's uniform throughout the district.
I'm saying,
I agree.
That's right, yeah.
And I have a question. So if the concern is that people are making money, then are people that are, have a house that's a rental, that where just a single family rental, are they paying $80 because they're making money off the property? So if somebody is not living in the house they own, but they're renting it out to somebody.
You mean a long-term rental?
Pardon?
You mean a long-term rental?
Yes. Are they paying extra?
We'd be gracious.
They aren't making $150,000 a year.
I'm not making $150,000.
No, I know you aren't either, but
yeah. So.
One of the drawbacks of Zoom is that whoever's talking, no one else can talk.
Sorry.
So we need to start raising our hands.
All right.
We could do that. Okay, who wants to go next? Now nobody, see? No. Okay, Buzz, great. Buzz, you're on. Then Buck.
Grace, I was one of those dastardly VRBO people, and I got a letter from the sheriff's department saying I had to pay $350 for a license, and they were gonna, oh, by the way, they were gonna charge me, I think it's 10% tax in addition to the state and federal tax.
Yep,
room tax.
They said, if you rent for more than 30 nights, so we changed our ad to 31 nights. We are no longer—
Less than, yeah, it's less than 30.
In the eyes of the state, but we are making money off it because we just signed up a guy who wants to stay for 31 nights, almost a week after we came. So my point is, people are, the renters, you're correct in saying that there's all kinds of people in town that are making money off their houses. And I think, and I say, my point is, so what? Who cares? We're not here to decide that. We're just here to provide water. And a flat rate per connection is how we do it.
And
Buzz, did you wanted to say something?
I was in agreement with Buzz's direction of getting data, inflow and outflow and usage numbers. Until that, you have no basis of making any decisions at all, tell you the truth.
Right. We don't have much. We have a little bit because we have a few places metered, and I've got to get more of the data from Craig going back, but I've been looking at the current data and I've been able to figure out what houses are what, but that's 1 month. Dan.
Do we know why the ADUs are there as a category? I mean,
I don't know. That's why I was hoping Buck would have the answer, but it sounds like it's been going on a long time.
I hadn't seen them before. I saw that my old one doesn't have them on it, and I got that at the 2018 or 19 meeting. And I saw that one on the table the other, because I didn't see the $30. When Grace told me what was going on, I looked on my old piece of paper and I didn't see the $30. And then I was in the office the other day, I saw this one that was adopted June 2019, the last meeting the board had, and there it was.
Right. Well, I've got one from the year before that has it too. Rented for 2018-2019. That's the oldest one I have. I thought I had one from 2017. Buck, you had your hand up.
I forgot.
Okay.
Short-term memory, sorry.
Yeah, short-term. Short-term rentals and short-term memories. We've all got those. Not here, next door.
So Dan. I just put my hand up twice, but.
I am sorry, Grace. Grace, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, you know, I'm also paying. So the thing that Buzz, I'm just now Buzz has left, but I'm curious if he's doing under that stipulation is under 31 days per year, like the entire year, you can't rent for more than 31 days. It's not, I mean, that's the entire year. And so that's how that works. It's not, Like I pay, so that tax, like because I am renting one bedroom out of my house, I don't have that $350 he talked about. I'm in a different classification. The state, the county does not, I don't have to pay the $350 because I'm renting a bedroom out of my house.
Yeah, that's for the county license.
But. Different. I still have to pay 10% of every penny I take in addition to all the other taxes. I have to pay 10% of that back because of the nightly rental thing. But
you mean the county room tax?
Yes.
State.
And state. There's a little tiny one for the state. No, it's not very big.
Yeah, the state one's not very big. The county one is an additional 10% of everything. So.
Right.
May I say something? I'm sorry, you can't see me, so I can't raise my hand. Grace, I'm curious, when did you start paying $80, and who told you to do that? Did you all of a sudden get a bill for $80? Or
Pat showed up and talked to me about a year ago and said that that's just how all the nightly rental people have to pay $80 a month. And so I said, well, if everybody, and I was like, what? And then, but what I've since found out is that's not true. Not all the nightly rental people are paying $80 a month. Not
every nightly rental.
I mean the short-term rental. All the houses that have short-term rentals are not paying $80. Mine's paying.
I just had never heard of it until you mentioned that you had to pay it. I was just wondering how that all came about because I've never heard that before.
Pat came in and told me that
okay.
Apparently, thank you.
It's been on the schedule for a while, but it's not probably consistently applied.
Yeah, so that's go
ahead. I see you, Dan. Dan?
This is sounding like people are blaming Pat for this. This is a rate schedule that was adopted by the district, and Pat's in the very unpleasant situation of because as treasurer and helping do the work she does in the office of applying this schedule. And it's not as if Pat is picking and choosing. Someone's identified, and apparently it sounds from what people are saying that there are a lot of folks in the district who are flying under the radar and are not identified as having these rental units.
And I'm not blaming Pat. I just couldn't figure out how all of a sudden Grace got a bill for $80. I'm not familiar with your rate schedule. I haven't seen it. It's about why Grace would pay 30. That's all. That was my only question is why all of a sudden is she paying 80? I'm not blaming anybody for it. Yeah. I just had a question.
But you can see why Pat is not happy with the situation and would like.
No, I really can't.
Better definition of what these categories are because they're not very well defined. And when I've talked to Pat, it sounds like Pat would like it to be fair.
And why is Pat not here though? I don't understand that.
I have a feeling that I don't know. I think there's some emotion involved amongst the board members.
Buck's next.
It was Pat and myself, and I think there was someone else there. We were discussing the ADUs at that time to start charging. And it was meant to be more uniform to go down the road to identify all that were doing that. And there was other questions that needed to be answered also. Is it attached, non-attached? Is that the same classification or not? None of those questions were ever answered. And so there was no differentiation. And I think what is left is that Pat is the face of what happened here, and it shouldn't be. It should be the board, because it was a board decision. And the program is, the rate structure is in limbo because it didn't go to completion to get everybody. And so then, you know, it's unfair. I feel the same way. We have one person that I'm paying $30 a month for. I just wanted to say that it's not just Pat, it's me also. So.
All right.
And I have to say, I did not really understand it, which is why I'm raising questions about the entire rationale and fairness now, because trying to understand it, the harder I look at it, you know, and Buzz has said some of the same things, the less sense it makes and the less fair it appears.
Right. So we can change the rate structure during a budget process.
I think that's the way it goes.
I know the rates have to have hearings.
Right.
Can make a budget adjustment, a budget amendment for that purpose. And then it's a matter of notification, like you do on meetings and that sort of thing for the change of the budget rate.
And so, the rates, they don't need a special hearing, you think? I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to look that up. I kind of thought they did.
I don't understand what you meant by hearing, but meetings, there has to be a series of meetings and notifications.
I was kind of bringing that up because we probably have to amend our budget anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, can we fold this in to that? A possible change if we're considering that the board wants to change it. Okay, Buzz, I'm getting back to you.
Thank you. You asked me a while back how long these... what I was referring to, there's no date on this, but this was the handout back a couple of years ago when they said we want to change the rates from $30 to $50, and somebody had gone through and handed out rate structure where the 30
right.
crossed out and the 50 was put in.
Right.
There's nothing in here that says it. What it says for multi-unit residential, regardless of whether it's residential long-term, blah, 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 it goes from 30 to 50 bucks a month for a 3/4-inch unit. So sometimes...
Is there a date, a fiscal year date on that one you have at the top?
But I think, you know, maybe you could go back to the meeting. It was when they raised the rates, Beth.
Well, you know, actually, I guess it really doesn't matter when. It's like, do we want to change it?
Yeah.
And what process do we have to go through to change it?
So, I believe we have to reconvene the budget committee and basically do that process. If we're going to change the budget or change rates.
Right.
What I'm hearing Buck say is that the current rate structure has terms in it that are not fully defined. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as what an ADU, is it an attached, unattached, and those are distinctions that I think that the county makes, and the state, actually their state distinctions.
Yeah, and Fannie Mac makes a distinction too.
And
it would seem to me that what the distinction would be was how many different residences are on the same water supply. So if there's one line coming into a house and there's two residents using that should be equivalent to two services. Otherwise,
but what is a residence then?
But why?
Well,
Stand.
What is a residence? A place.
Well, no, I'm serious. I'm serious.
A place separate than the family that's also renting. You know, you have a
right. But if it's just a room in your house,
family renting another place.
If it's just a room in your house, is it another?
That's a little different. That might be a little different. That's not. Yeah,
right.
You're right. Bring it
right.
down to that.
Yeah.
But if you actually have two rentals going on in one building, I don't know.
Right.
Well, if it's two rentals in one building and it's one person per, you know, I don't know. I don't see how two people are using more water than one house with five.
I agree.
Oh, okay. But
if you have five houses on the road and one person lives in one house and five people live in the next house and the next person two people live in, they're all getting charged the same rate. Not, you know, it's all $50 a month for each one of those people.
Right.
So the number of people really doesn't correspond to it. It's the residences. How many residences do you have? How many places do you have where people live?
Right.
Would be my opinion. But if it's not clear, I think the board needs to clear that up. Mm-hmm.
Dan, did you have something else?
Well, that's what Pat wanted us to do, is to clear that up.
Right. Define what unit, make definitions for the unit distinctions that we have.
But to even do that, there have to be some underlying assumptions about
right.
what you're charging for, and why would you charge one customer class more than another customer class, which is, you know, we have had, I think for a long time in the district, different commercial rates based on the diameter of your supply pipe, correct?
Yep.
So.
Right, that makes sense.
Well, it makes sense because they have the potential to use a greater yeah. share of the water. Is that why it makes sense? They
right.
They have a higher level of access to the resource. Is that why
right.
it makes sense?
And then we also charge per unit, for multi-unit commercial.
Mm-hmm. We didn't used to.
So the Mattel gets, the Mattel has, you know, 11 units. So they have 11 unit charges.
But that's a commercial.
So that's one $50 charge and then 10 additional $30 charges, is that correct?
No, they pay $50. The commercial rate for a multi-unit commercial, it's supposed to be $50 per month per unit.
Right. So it's the same
but
as
then they're metered and they pay for overage fees
okay.
too. Usage fees when they go over a certain limit.
But each unit at Alpine Chalets is charged the same as a single residence.
Right.
Well, those are all nightly rentals though, right?
They could or could not be. They're condominiums. They were, you know, most of them are, I think, but there may be some people.
I have no idea how much.
They have individual owners for the most part, except I think the original company owns about four of the units still.
So would the individual ones, I mean, a lot of them are nightly rentals. All you have to do is go on air.
Right, I think I see seven or eight of them.
Are those yeah. ones paying $80? Why are instead of paying $50, why are they not paying $80?
Well, that extra $30 was for an additional unit, like Buck has to pay.
They're paying $50 for each residence, yeah. Which is
okay.
what everybody
and a duplex,
does.
We have some duplexes in town. They each pay $50 for each duplex unit. So they pay $100. But they're not commercial, but anyway.
I think until you get it straightened out, you shouldn't be charging people extra money for it when it's not even clear why you're charging them extra money. That's my opinion on the whole thing. Until it gets straightened out, I think it's you can't charge some people and other people are getting away with paying nothing.
That's
well, scary. Nobody's paying nothing.
And I was told
well, not paying their extra.
I was told that all the nightly rentals, Pat told me all the people that had nightly rentals were paying $80, $50 for the structure, and then an additional $30 because they're using more water. And that was what I was, that was my understanding. I may have misunderstood Pat. That's
possible,
but.
No, they aren't paying.
As I said, why am I paying eight? I said, so is everybody who has a nightly rental paying $80? Because I didn't want to. I thought that seems, you know, because I just have one bedroom in my house. Again, I'm not paying the same, like I don't have to pay the $350 that Buzz has to pay because it's a different classification because it's one room in my house. It's a different classification as far as the state is concerned. But I was told that everybody had to pay that, Grace. And so that's why I said, well, okay, I'm not special. If everyone that has a nightly rental is paying that amount, then.
No, it was probably everyone with an ADU.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not sure yours is an ADU.
I just still think it's arbitrary that I should pay $80 a month for three people in one house.
Dan,
I think you see now.
About this forever.
Go ahead, Dan.
I think you see now why Pat wanted us to start talking about this.
Because, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah.
Because Pat's not comfortable. I have not gotten the impression Pat's comfortable with it either. Pat, you know, if you haven't defined really what an ADU is, how can you charge or not charge for an ADU?
Right.
And then I'm being even more of a pain because I'm saying, why are we charging ADUs? What's the rationale for that as opposed to charging per service? So I guess I'm to blame for making it even a more fundamental question. But
yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with discussing Pat's feelings when Pat has chosen not to participate.
I agree.
Pat is a person that we need to have participating in this. So
I think you've noticed that a couple of us have at least have felt like it sounded like Pat was being blamed for some of this, and it's not.
I'm not blaming Pat.
Okay, good.
Right.
Good.
Okay, Buzz, you had your hand up.
Sounds to me like we can't give Grace any relief, and we can't change anything until we have another certified budget meeting, whatever Buck called it. So why can't we just table this until we know how much water we've got? Just put a moratorium on talking about rates anymore, and maybe if there's some way to cut Grace some slack, I would be all for it, and just let it run. Talking about it tonight.
Okay, Dan, you want to go back?
All I can say is that we cannot legally cut individual customers any slack. We can cut a class of customers slack, and we may be able to do it without the budget committee thing if we just say, yeah, go ahead, Buzz.
I think that, yeah, until it's decided, the district can actually issue a credit to the ADU people that pay the ADUs of $30, and then on the invoice on their bills, and then say credit for X month, and it's still on the books as being a charge, but there's a credit on there. So investigate that, whether you can do that, until it's decided, and how the definitions of ADUs, attached, unattached, you know, what the charges should be.
That sounds pretty good.
Can we, and here it's a newbie question here again. Can we make a decision as far as a definition for what we call rented accessory unit without budget? Couldn't we do that without involving the budget committee. It doesn't have to do with setting rates. It's the how we're applying what's set here now.
That would be my hope, but I'm not sure I have I know the definitive answer to that.
Okay. We'll have to do more research, I guess, on that then.
I'm curious because, for example, my unit is a bedroom. It is a bedroom with a bathroom. I have no kitchen. There's no kitchen. There's no laundry. There's no nothing. I have a one bedroom house, and my one bedroom I'm renting out. So I have a one bedroom house.
I understand, Grace.
I don't have an additional kitchen. I don't have, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
So I'm paying $80 for a one bedroom house. It's just, not to beat a dead horse, but I'm just like.
But womp, 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 right?
Yeah, a little beating, sorry.
Yeah, just a little. Okay.
Grace, we do hear you. That was the original intent of this meeting was to start getting that sorted out, because it is mind-boggling.
And what Grace is talking about, I think, is if she had a roommate, would she be charged $30 extra for having a roommate in her house?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so, I looked up some definitions of what an accessory dwelling unit is, and there's a big distinction on whether it has kitchen facilities.
And
there's a huge distinction. Well, yeah, in almost all of them. And Fannie Mac had a distinction that if it was actually part of an original house and there's still a doorway between the original house and that place, they would not consider it an accessory unit.
Okay.
So ding, ding, ding. I was hoping we could get there, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
So do you think we should reconvene soon to focus on, it was my understanding that was Pat's intention, was to get some definitions of these things so that it could be applied fairly.
We can't really talk about Pat's intention though without Pat here, right?
No, we can talk about why Pat told us why she wanted to do this. We can't talk about Pat's feelings, her innermost thoughts, her childhood experience, all those kinds of things. No, but this defined what I was told by Pat was that we need to define the things that Buck pointed out are not defined, because they're not nailed down.
And because we need to make sure we're applying everything fairly.
Yes.
And like, if we're missing ones, that's not fair, you know?
And
have some with an additional charge and others that aren't. And then, of course, Dan, you had to bring up, do we even need it? And Buzz, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Interestingly, when I started getting charged, I contacted the water, I contacted them because next door, because the coronavirus hit, I lost all my income for a couple months. And the house next door that has two people renting it, only one person was renting. And I wrote and asked if it was possible if for a couple months I didn't pay the additional $30 on the house next door. And I got a note back saying, we've taken it in front of the board and we've decided to charge you $30 extra for both houses now. That was precise. And I said, what? You know, so like I said, and that was it. And I asked about it, and she said, and Whitney said, that's what the board decided. The board decided that. And so I've been a little, frustrated ever since.
Yeah.
Right. Understandable.
And it seemed like, it felt punitive. I was like, am I being punished? Because I mean, she could have just said, no, we can't do that. Because, you know, at that time, there was a lot of stuff going around about, utilities and people needed help because the coronavirus, and people couldn't, people didn't have, like, they couldn't be evicted, for example. I just thought I'd ask, you know, and to have, and so I was stressing about that extra $30. And then all of a sudden I started having to pay. That was the month she said, oh, by the way, we've decided to charge you extra above.
Okay, well,
that's a whole other thing. We don't have to talk about that.
I think we should.
You know what, you guys, we've got a ton of decisions to make, and we keep talking about them and waffling and obfuscating and going back and forth. We've got a letter from the state saying we have to have chlorination in place in like 5 months. And, you know, if we gave the engineer the go-ahead today, we might just make it. I don't mean to change the subject, Grace. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'd like the board to just make some kind of decision tonight. Buck seemed to have a good idea. Is there not something we can make a motion and put this aside and, you know, solve Grace's problem and get on with some of this other stuff?
What?
I think the motion has to be made in an actual
budget meeting.
Board meeting.
In a regular board meeting?
It has to be made in a public meeting.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which this is.
Let's put it on the agenda for the next meeting. We'll take 5 minutes and we'll make a motion. Right.
And in the meantime, if you could share with us what those definitions are, we could at least take care of this shorter term, smaller scale issue by reviewing what the current definitions are that are being used and then take an action on that. And I think that's something we can do without, that's just defining classification. It's not changing a rate structure or a budget or anything like that.
Right, I don't know. It will help some, but it won't help everyone. I guess I know it would help Grace, but it wouldn't help Buck and the other ADUs. We have at least one other one.
Why can't we just reduce? Give them that $30 a month or whatever they have coming, and just next time we do them. After next month's meeting, if there's a positive vote on some kind of resolution, why can't
someone want to figure out that resolution? Is someone going to work draft some language?
I will be happy to work.
Okay, I'll work on getting definitions out that I have found.
Yeah, if you can share the information, I'm happy to work with whoever wants to work on it to at least I will put my wonderings about why we're charging ADUs at all aside, and we'll just work on defining an ADU, and then we can treat everyone in the district the same, which we are required to do.
Okay.
Then sounds like there's consensus to table this until the next meeting,
but I don't mean to complicate it any further, but I would ask the board that they do investigate on an ADU if it is a modular home or an RV that's in a permanent state that is hooked up to the water. There could be one service, but two or three modular units on that service that are in a permanent state. I would ask they would investigate that also.
Is that like those two manufactured homes on Nelly Street, Buck?
Oh, you want me?
Yeah. No, they're two separate accounts, and they've
been services
for
now, Buck.
Eons.
Okay.
Right? Is that new?
In the last year they each got metered. They each have a service.
Good.
They've had services for eons.
What about the RV park next to the community hall? When they fill that little RV park up there?
Oh, that's a family reunion thing, I think.
Yeah.
They don't leave.
Do they pay $50 then a month for their service?
Mm-hmm. Every month throughout the year.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
I just know that there are houses, I'm not going to name names, but I know people that have external units. Maybe it's an RV or something that is hooked up to water, that maybe they use it as a guest house or something, mm-hmm. or periodically rent it out to friends. But I happen to know that those people are not, some of those people are not being charged extra. I'm not saying they should be, but I'm saying if they're not being charged, then you shouldn't be charging some people and not others.
And back to the issue of fairness. Okay. Well, another time, but you wonder, is it a workable policy if you're actually going to have the water supply secret police sneaking around town spying to see who's cheating and who isn't?
Good point.
Is that a policy we want to continue?
Right. Okay.
Okay.
We will continue this at the next meeting. Under old business, I guess. Bring it up again.
Okay.
Is there anything else on our agenda?
Buck?
Oh, adjournment. Okay.
Thank you for working.
Did I just lose?
Thank you for working on this.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, I think. Okay, any other comments? I think we will adjourn this. What is our next meeting? Is our regular meeting for September? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? That's all I got. So our next meeting is September 15th. Our regular water board meeting.
Okay.
Someone want to make a motion to adjourn? Can we do that?
I move that we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I see. Three hands up. Dan,
aye. Yeah.
Huh? Oh, great.
Dan, aye.
Yeah. I'm adjourning. I'm agreeing to adjourn.
Yeah.
I wasn't asking to say so.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thanks, Beth. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, board members.
44. Thank you for attending. Good night, everybody.